Hey, you guys. Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's your hostess, Gina Crash, for the next half an hour or so. And I'm so excited to welcome back our guest, Randy Pupkin. She's the executive director of Art with a Heart that's celebrating its 20th anniversary this year here in Baltimore in the middle of a pandemic. Welcome back, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I always look forward to our visits. Normally, I will come down to Art with a Heart at Mill Number 1 there in your beautiful space, but we are being socially distant. Where are you talking to us from this morning?
I'm actually in my home. We are back in the office a bit, but I'm at home today. We take turns.
Gotcha. Well, that's what we do, too. Like, I'm in the studio right now, and our producer, Jerry's in another one, and we're all kind of, you know, maintaining those guidelines and stuff. And you just recently got a shout-out on this show, which is Spotlight on Maryland, or you know, it's puts the spotlight literally like it sounds on nonprofits in the area. And Cassie Motz from College Bound Foundation was talking about how she was an attorney first before she's doing her work over at the foundation, and she's like, your name came up, and she just thinks the world of you like I do. So
that's— Oh, that's so nice. She's awesome. And I'm sure, like her, we use our law degrees every day in this work.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of like, and I know your background, which I think is really unique and has really served you well. But I think for anyone who's just tuning in and is not aware of you and what you've done, your story is an amazing one. So I'm going to let you tell it.
Okay, well, thank you. Yes, I was a construction litigator for about 14 years and was sitting in my office one day, hung up the phone after a very contentious conversation with another attorney, and looked around my office at all the beigeness, the floor, the ceiling, the walls, the files, the timesheets, and just really felt like this is my life story and this is chapter 5. And if chapter 25 was more beige, I wouldn't even want to read the book. So I came home and had a conversation with my husband about my future. And we mutually agreed that I could pursue another avenue. So I went back to my law office. I incorporated Art with a Heart for my law desk and just basically combined my love of art and creativity, although not an artist, and my love of people, which is why I became a lawyer in the first place and founded this organization in March of 2000.
Wow. And then you fast forward 20 years later. So that mission that you had, you went from beige to like a very colorful, multicultural, painting, if you will. So how did you know, like, what void did you see at the time that wasn't being filled that the mission of Art with a Heart really, really fulfilled?
Well, as I've said in the past to people, I think I jumped off a cliff and then looked back to see if I was wearing a parachute. I don't think I thought I knew Baltimore, but I really didn't know Baltimore. I'm born and raised here, but I really didn't know Baltimore. And it wasn't until I really got into the community and started to listen and see and learn that I learned that it's really not folklore, that there's not visual art classes in elementary and middle schools, and that many of our older adults sit alone and idle with no opportunities for self-expression or creativity or even community building.
Mm-hmm.
So those were very apparent voids. The inequity of it was very clear. And in our lane, we are really doing what we can to fill the void and move forward with a more equitable and inclusive visual art.
Yeah, and this is very timely in to what a year 2020 has been, but I think your services are even more critical now. So how has this last year been as far as, the people that you've been able to serve and the things that you've accomplished up until this point?
So prior to COVID, Art with a Heart had 500 classes a month, which was, we were flourishing. All of our different branches of the organization. When we talk about the organization, we talk about it like a tree, and the trunk of the tree are our core classes that happen in schools, shelters, group homes, treatment facilities, community centers, hospitals. And then that tree grew branches, and the branches include public art and community service initiative, a teen leadership program called the Art of Leadership, a workforce development program called HeartWorks, and a social enterprise retail store called Heartwares. And so prior to COVID, all of those branches were flourishing. We were probably going to have our best year ever.
Oh, wow. And in your anniversary year, too.
Yes. Yeah. Just we continue to innovate. And then on March 13th, all of our programming was obviously suspended like everything else in the state. And we had to kind of make a pivot and, you know, very grateful for the creativity that I'm surrounded by in the form of all my team members. And we just swiftly and creatively implemented new programming. Over the summer, we have refined and learned best practices for virtual programming and look forward to starting school virtually with many of our former partners. In July, we had 138 virtual classes. We were able to bring many of our teachers back into the mix and have them start earning salaries again and teaching again and seeing their students again, which all of that is so important right now.
It really is. Wow. Yeah. So you're really creative. I can't think of a more creative team. So you definitely have the right folks to really still accomplish your mission, even though things are a little bit clunky some days as we all are going through that. But are there certain restrictions you had, like serving, I'd imagine, the work that you do with, you know, older adults and vulnerable folks? How have you been able to still do what you need to there, but maintaining those protocols and things?
So what we continue to do, even with children, it doesn't matter who we're serving. We follow the CDC guidelines. So what we've been doing is we realize that many of the populations that we serve do not have either access to technology or access to art materials. So those were the two hurdles we had to overcome. And in a group setting, there can be no more community art supplies. So when we start virtually back to school, each student needs their own art supply kit, like a starter kit that will be used throughout, whether it's a trimester or semester, depending on when they get back to school. But they will still always have, like in the old days, we had our school boxes. Well, these are bigger, much bigger. And the first box will contain all general art supplies. And then we'll have different units of study sequentially. Unit two might be ceramics, and they'll use the supplies from box one for some of the learning that happens in box two. For students that don't have technology, we put in simple to follow directions so that a student can have a self-guided art practice. They're all age appropriate directions. And then you mentioned our older adults, our seniors. So same is happening for them. Their teachers that they've had for years are learning virtual programming as well. And in some cases, most recently, we started doing socially distanced art classes in person, one teacher, 8 students, 6 feet apart, masks, and with their own art supply kits.
Wow. Now, I'm imagining this. I know when you go to the doctor, you can't even keep the pen anymore because you need so many unique supplies, right? That costs money. Instead of having that big communal tub of brushes you guys used to have with all the great colors and things, you have to buy all that individual stuff, not to mention masks and everything else. I would imagine you've incurred a bit more of an expense with that. So how can we help you, you know, fundraise to get some of those resources that you need to have and those additional supplies that you need, which is you have to be compliant, like you were saying. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much for asking that question and for your awareness that this is a big nut to crack. It really is. It's we are preparing 3,500 art kits for our elementary middle school students in Baltimore City. And, it's literally tens of thousands of dollars to make this happen. So I would appreciate and welcome for people, your listeners, to visit us online at artwithaheart.net. And on our webpage, you can find a place where you can donate to us either from our wish list or make monetary donations there as well.
I love that.
Yes, and we appreciate all the support. Our address is also there, so if a listener is more apt to send a check, our address is on our website as well.
That's great. That works, too. And you were mentioning working with older adults, and I know some of your volunteers also are older, too. How is that component in the pandemic of volunteers and volunteering? How do you work around that as well? And what kinds of things are they doing, and what kinds of volunteers do you need, if any?
So we engage about 4,000 volunteers a year, but we have a core group of volunteers that come, well, prior to COVID. They would come every Wednesday, well, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but we had our biggest group every Wednesday. It was like a party at Art with a Heart every Wednesday. And they would share lunches and stories, and they mostly worked on public art projects. On March 13th, when we closed, we had 38 different public art projects in the works. So initially what we did was we were able to package up pieces of like mosaic projects and they could work on them at home. So we started sending them out, delivering them, or they would come for curbside pickup. Now we have, we've opened up a little bit. We have what we call two for Tuesdays. So we have two volunteers come in on Tuesdays from 10 to 12. And work on public art, and then we clean, and then we have another group come from 2 to 4 in the afternoon.
Wow, this is so perfect. You mentioned so many buzzwords now, like, you know, the curbside pickup and everybody working in shifts, and you really have adapted. This is really impressive what you guys are still able to accomplish.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And that's smart with the public art, too. And I know, speaking of public art, you've got that huge, I mean, we're mentioning earlier, like, I don't think we can mention enough that you are, you know, honoring and celebrating your 20th anniversary this year, which is incredible.
Yes.
And that you were creating that large-scale sculpture that's going to be installed. So tell us, what's the status of that? And am I letting the cat out of the bag? Is this a secret?
You are letting a cat out of the bag, and that's totally okay, because we're better than here.
That's right. It's breaking news on Spotlight on Maryland. I love
it. Exactly. And breaking good news, which is such a, you know, a needed something right now.
Absolutely.
So yes, Art with a Heart is going to be creating an 8-foot by 6-foot, 1,000-pound mosaic and ceramic heart that is going to be installed on Pratt Street. And we're super excited about it. It should be delivered to our office within the coming weeks. The supply chain has slowed down the process a little bit. It's right now being created by a sculptor who is creating what's called the armature, or the inside of the sculpture. And then we will work with thousands of volunteers. Despite COVID, we're still going to work with thousands of volunteers to create this piece for Baltimore. It's going to be the heart of Baltimore because it needs love, and we're going to give Baltimore some love in honor of our 20th anniversary.
Right, because, you know, you think of Philly and their famous love statue, but we definitely need a little bit of love. So was this your idea, or is this part of your creative team at work as well, or kind of a, you know, combination of the both?
Well, it's a combination of the both. For our 15th anniversary, we donated park benches to 15 different parks that we had our teachers and local artists create. And then that was our gift to the city for our 15th. So I knew I wanted to do something really special for our 20th. And, you know, we're Art with a Heart. So the heart was just a natural extension of what we wanted to do. And then we're working with Downtown Partnership. They've been absolutely wonderful and excited and helpful in making this happen. So we're really excited about this project and the collaboration. And we will be reaching out to community members, you know, through social media and press releases and so on. We really want as many people as we can get to place a piece, do some of the work. There'll be ceramic hearts on it. They can do that. We'll ship it out. We'll deliver it. Whatever we have to do, we'll do.
That's awesome. So people can find you on social media. I know you're very active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, right?
Yes, and LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn. Yes, I think I follow you in all those places. And direct links for all those platforms if people are driving and don't have something to write with. Artwithaheart.net is another wealth of information, your website that you mentioned earlier. So
correct.
We can get the public's help in a way that we can still be compliant and all that good stuff.
Right.
And we're mentioning, the heart theme, Art with a Heart. Earlier, we touched briefly on Heart Works and Heart Wears. If you want to kind of explain a little bit more about what that is and what you do and how you've been able to adapt that in the middle of our pandemic
HeartWorks is Art with a Heart's workforce development program. It's in its 16th year. And prior to COVID, we could boast a 75 to 80% job placement rate for the youth in the program, which are ages 14 to 22. And mostly youth who have aged out. It's mostly on the older side, 18 to 22, who have aged out of other programs. And we use art as a vehicle to teach job skills. And 2 years ago, we actually integrated a digital art curriculum, which is serving us very well right now, which included like gaming, 3D design and printing, graphic design, coding. So they're learning all of that, and that continues. We had a spring session of our workforce development program that led into a summer session. We're engaging about 80 students right now in different forms of our workforce development program, and it's amazing. It's flourishing, and attendance is better than when it's in person.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow, and what a way to capitalize on that important part of art as well, the digital component, and also the youth of, who are going to take care, they're going to solve the world's problems right after we're not here anymore, Randy.
Right, right.
And that's important to keep up and to really utilize that, because that's a whole other component of art that's going to help us get back on track, too.
It sure is. Creativity, it's the number one leadership competency that CEOs, there's actually a study of like 1,500 CEOs that literally said creativity is the number one leadership competency that they look for when hiring. And I always say, I think I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but as I always say, like students need, especially elementary and middle school students, they need to have art experiences consistently to engage their creative muscle. And it's creativity that is allowing us to get through a pandemic. It's creativity that's going to find the vaccine for this pandemic. It's creativity that's allowing businesses to pivot and innovate. And all of that starts with a creative mind. And if students do not have access to visual art classes or the opportunities to be creative, they're just going to, it will atrophy. Those muscles will atrophy. And so we are fighting that by trying to provide not just equitable access, but more than that for all of our community.
That is so, so important. You brought up so many good points, because I think, I remember when my sister told my parents she wanted to be an artist for a living, they're like, no, well, you're not going to be able to get a job with that. But I think that mentality really has to change. And do you think it has a little bit?
I do think it has. I think people are aware of what a cultural community provides. I think people are aware of what a cultural community can do for an economy. I mean, people want to live where people are creative,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's through restaurants or museums or art stores or art shops or parks with interesting things to look at. I mean, people want to live in creative communities. And it doesn't even, when I said, like I said, restaurants, but it can be anything creative, it runs the gamut, and people, it's inspiring. And think of Disney.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Is there a more creative place, really? And everything's built by Imagineers.
Yeah, you're right. It's fantastic. And we owe quite a debt to Walt Disney. And they've had to adapt, too. They're figuring it out as well. So it's like we're all in this together for sure. And you are definitely beautifying Baltimore with the art that is gorgeous. And we do need that love. And we feel that love because you guys are just so active. It's great. What else have you been up to? And how have you, has has Art with a Heart adapted since the COVID pandemic? And is there anything that we can help you with in doing that, you know?
Well, we continue to shift and adapt. And like I said, we had 138 classes in July. We're looking forward to many, many more, 3,500 students having access to visual arts starting September 8th. And getting ready for that is Herculean. And we do it. We make it happen. But certainly if people want to help us by contributing to buying art supplies or reaching out about volunteering to help us create these art boxes that we'll have to get done within the next month, certainly we'll welcome both. Of course, we have to keep in mind the CDC guidelines. So I want to just say this caveat about volunteering right now, that we can only handle a very limited number. And so we're responding to people, but waiting until things open up a bit more before we have any kind of group interaction.
Right. That's understandable for sure. Like, you were going to do a huge fundraiser, right? So what happened with that? And at what point were you like, okay, this can't happen the way you wanted it to? But if I know how creative you are, you're probably coming up with some way to fundraise that might not be what you originally intended, right?
Right. So we are. So yes, the party is not happening.
Doggone it! I was getting myself all ready for it.
I know, and you'd be so much fun to party with at the party.
Well, now, as soon as we can, we will.
Exactly. We are hoping. Of course, nobody knows what the fall will look like, but we are hoping that the heart will be done by the end of November, and we would like to do a big reveal of that. And we're thinking we're going to do it in shifts, like a breakfast reveal and then a lunch reveal and then a happy hour reveal with a small, you know, maybe 50 people at each one. It would only be, you know, or maybe we do that over a course of a couple days so that we can engage more people. But that's the idea, that we'll do something around the heart, outdoors, under a tent with open walls. So we can make something happen. But that's what we're thinking.
Good, good, good. I love that. So going to be a good visual, something that you can definitely share on those social media platforms and sort of show people what you guys have been up to. Yeah. And we mentioned a little bit this about this. Okay, I'm getting the 5-minute wrap up, Randy. Uh-oh. So let's make sure there's something that, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to squeeze in before we get ready to wrap up soon?
I think we've really touched upon everything we're doing, you know, the public art projects, the workforce development. We are at Johnny's pop-up market every Sunday, and we're selling art kits for people to do mosaics in their home. We're also selling tie-dye masks. We're selling things that students have made. So come visit us at that. That's in at Johnny's in Roland Park.
Oh my gosh, I love that place. And I think I saw that on Instagram and I was like, what a great idea.
So we're happy to be there, still selling some of the student made art. And I think we really touched upon, you know, our whole tree. So
I love the tree analogy, and then also, you know, helping sort of heal that racial divide, too, that we've had this year. I think you guys have had a huge, have you felt the love for Art with a Heart during all that, beginning with George Floyd's passing? And I think everyone sort of felt like they had to expand their message to help as much as they could to help heal that divide.
Yes. And, you know, we've been doing this work for a long time. And even in the work, there's much to learn. And we have to keep listening. And we have to keep watching. And we have to treat people humanely and lovingly. And, you know, that's what we do at Art with a Heart. And with that said, we're still educating ourselves and learning and listening. And, you know, when I said that, you know, we've grown and refined our curriculum, we have a designated person now who is working on that to make it even more culturally relevant and sensitive. And, you know, you have to keep,
Adapting, yeah. Yeah,
and adapting, like, yeah. And refining, yep, and learning. Yep. And so we are, and we will continue to do that.
Good. That's awesome. And congratulations on 20 years. What's your greatest accomplishment, do you think, or your best, your best memory or some sort of, like, as you're reflecting on 20 years, like, what's that thing that pops into your head? Like, okay.
I mean, I have so many stories. I always tell people I have so many stories, but just, you know, I mean, I would have to say, like, getting here, like when you said something about 20 years in Baltimore, I'm sitting in this chair and I'm like, wow, that is significant.
It is. And it should be celebrated because it's not easy. You know, I'm sure you've had many, many challenges along the way, but you're still here. And we're going to everyone who can hear our voices is going to help you stay here for another 20 years. Right.
Because, well, thank you. I hope so. And I appreciate your support for sure.
Absolutely. And you don't do it alone. So if there's anybody in the end that, like, if you didn't give them a shout out, that would be sad. Is there anyone in your office, especially, that's really stepped up, or anybody that you
know?
The
entire Art with a Heart team is extraordinary, and they all deserve a shout out, every one of them. But I'm not going to do it by name. I'm just going to say that they are the A team always, and fun and smart and creative and empowered and just making it happen every day.
Awesome. And anybody listening to this, what's the most important thing they can do to help support Art with a Heart?
Well, any kind of donation, financial or material donation, but be sure to visit our wish list. You know, some things we get a lot of, but we have on our wish list what we need. But any kind of support is appreciated.
That's a really good idea, to do the wish list. And real quick, the pop-up shop at Johnny's in Roland Park, what time is that on Sundays? And is it every Sunday?
It's every Sunday from 8 to 11.
Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.?
11 a.m. Yep.
Ooh, that's early. Okay, so when you're getting your fresh produce from the farmer's market, you know, you get up early, get the coffee, and then support Art with a Heart in the pop-up shop.
Right, and they have it's a farmer's market, so they have food and coffee at that Johnny's pop-up market.
Okay, so it's an all-encompassing thing that
yes.
they can do all of
they
that.
Have some really yummy food there.
Oh, I love it. I bet they do. I can't wait to put it on our calendar. I hope everyone else does too. We've been talking to Randy Pupkin. She's the executive director of Art with a Heart, celebrating 20 amazing years here in Baltimore and wishing them 120 million more. And if you want to help them out with their amazing programs and mission, you can do that online, artwithaheart.net, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You are hitting all those platforms, Randy.
Yes, we are. Not so much Twitter, but, you know, we do the best we can.
That's okay. I look at some people's feeds and they're from 4 years ago. So, yeah, Right. Maybe we'll focus on the others. But thank you so much for your time this morning. You guys can reach out to me on all those platforms as well at Gina Crash, and I'll put you in touch and make sure to share all the great stuff they're doing. We want to thank you for listening, too. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.